Grace be unto you and peace from our God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall now rise to hear the gospel text set aside for this Sunday, found in Matthew chapter 5. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Amen. Dear service guests and listeners of the word, brothers and sisters, we are before this holy word, we are in a tough place. Unless your righteousness exceeds or surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Has this standard or bar been set very high that you need to be better than others? Or what does this actually mean? Does it actually mean that because the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law and we have become righteous through faith, we don't have to listen to the words that come out of the mouth of Jesus? which come from the Sermon on the Mount. Dear listeners, neither of these cases are true. The issue here is that when God, in His grace, does, through faith, for the sake of Jesus' righteousness, merit work, He makes us righteous, then we are, then there is love stirred within us as a fruit of faith. And also, by the grace of God, we get a feeling of sin. And also, the child of God who has been able to feel that feeling of helplessness in his own helplessness in his own strength, when he attempts to do good and then has become saved by grace, then he can afford to feel and to acknowledge his own insufficiency and take responsibility for it. And with the power of the gospel of God, endeavor for that good, to do the good which we have been placed to do on the way to heaven. This is how we should understand this text. With the help of a few theological concepts. First is the nature of the law. What is the nature? What is the essence of the law? God's law. When on the Mount Horeb, Moses received the tablets of the law, they shone the brightness of the law of God. The light was so bright that Moses needed to cover his face. Our temporal law is something that is used when its law, the letter of the law, is fulfilled. Even if you don't want to, but if you fulfill the law, you will not be judged. But the law of God is a spiritual law. And it not only demands us to perform acts, but also demands that we do it with the right frame of mind, with the right sense in our heart, and to do it from love. Therefore, it's not enough that when we have a quarrel or a fight at home, it's not enough that we just shut up and give the silent treatment and say, at least I didn't say anything wrong. If we do this with an offended heart, God sees what the state of our heart is when we do this. Later, Jesus here speaks about the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And he says it is not only a question of murdering someone, but also words can be used to kill someone. Words can also wound or cause wounds. And as Luther explains the fifth chapter in the Catechism, it does not only mean what we can't do, but also what we should do. In other words, what actions we need to take or words to speak so that in all ways we would be protecting not only physical life, but also the welfare of our neighbor. And if anywhere, it is in this point, this place, where we as children of God feel our own weakness, that the most the hottest battles do not take place in the world, but at home, with those who are the most closest to us. There is where we are asked, what is the state of your heart? What comes out of your mouth? What does not come out of your mouth? How does it affect things at home? And what is the atmosphere at home? And how am I responsible for this? What is my responsibility for this? And then there's another concept that helps us understand our text, is duality. Or of two parts. When we can, by grace, believe all of our sins forgiven, we are nevertheless two parts. Our flesh and blood will not repent. Instead, we need to carry our old portion until we are in the grave and the earth draws away that poison from our flesh. And the Apostle Paul sighs about this when he says, the good that I would wish to do, I do not, but the good I would like to do, I do not do, not me, but the sin that lives in me, my flesh. Who shall spare me from this body of sin? And then there is one more concept that we would need here, and that is the fruits of faith. The apostle writes that the fruits of the faith are joy, love, patience, goodness, faithfulness, good-naturedness, and containing yourself. These things flow from the faith of a person whose sins are forgiven. It is God who does the work through His Spirit to give rise to these fruits of faith. And often they come from us without our even knowing it. Now I wish to speak about being a letter of Christ. The apostle says, you are letters of Christ who are known by everyone and which everyone reads. When I thought of this time when I was able to for the first time, able to become acquainted with a believer, the life and speech of my high school classmate. And afterward, I have thought about this, and I have thought it wasn't what was remarkable to me, and what gave me an impression was a radiance, even though we didn't speak about faith, but there was a peace that was reflecting off of him, a kind of peace that said, I don't need to go out to all of those worldly parties and happy things. I already have the peace and joy that I have received, and that's why I can take a peaceful attitude toward everything that's going on around me and things that approach me. And another thing was this patience or long suffering. When they spoke to me, as I was an unbeliever at the time, when they invited me to services and they encouraged me to repent, and when I had this log of self-righteousness in my eye, I gave them a piece of my mind, and I gave my opinion in a critical manner of their faith. And the patience and long-suffering with which they responded to me, they said, it would be nice if you went to services and received the grace of repentance. This heart or mind of love, and this long-suffering and patience of Christ, is found in the bottom of a believer's heart. As long as we remember the suffering and the patience of our Lord when he was facing those who mocked him, how is it, brother and sister, at your house? What I have noticed is that when I have delivered a sermon to couples who are getting married, the young couple who is getting married rarely come up after me and said, I want to give feedback. Your words were very necessary for us. Instructions of the Word of God. But the parents of the bride and groom and the grandparents do come up and say, those words were sure necessary for us. What has happened at home over one or two generations? I understand when you are in love and you're at the altar, everything is going well, and you have this vision that things will go well always. But I also understand that the parents and the grandparents' experience can be a little bit more mundane. Fathers, do not provoke thy children to anger, but grow them up in the admonition of the Lord. The writers of the Bible knew that it is in families where we need these particular instructions, especially to fathers. And instructions are necessary for husbands, where it says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. And to the women, submit yourselves unto, or honor your husbands. And compete with each other in honoring one another. Do unto others as you wish that they would do unto you. And forgive each other if someone has a grudge against another one, just like Christ has forgiven you. Why is it so difficult? At home, at work, and wherever people are in close contact with one another and working together, we get feedback, and we need to give feedback. It's a good thing to get it. But why is it so difficult to accept or receive feedback? Why does it sometimes feel like we would want to say, shut your mouth and quit your complaining? This is about something more important, and that is why we so often we start distancing ourselves from one another, distancing ourselves from our family. It can be that work and the good feedback that you get there and the drive you get from there, it might draw you, and even the stress might want draw you. Your hobbies can take you away from there where the constructive and right feedback would be received. The feedback that is clothed in love. Just think, in our text it says, you have heard that it was said of the old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and so on. Think about the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has, the bride has, or the groom has to the bride. When on the cross he was hanging, and he was giving his life to the church for the congregation. And he looked upon the bride along to the church that he was going to give his life. This was the love that he gave. He did not look to the side and wonder, who else should I die for? He fixed his gaze right upon the love that was before him, the church. I am giving my life for the church. Nothing else matters at this moment. And when Jesus says here, whosoever looks upon a woman who pays attention to another woman other than his wife, he commits adultery. Think of how many things our flesh and this corrupted flesh in this world brings into our homes. Other things we can draw attention to instead of drawing attention to our own spouses beautiful eyes, which take away all of our sorrow from our lives. This is love. And that's why it feels like the feedback The feedback that would bring us back to this way seems distracting, or it wants us to say, be quiet, or we just shut up ourselves and give silent treatment. That's not in accordance with the spirit. It is the enemy of soul who performs the destructive work in our home. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we should, even in this aspect, be aware, because the enemy seeks, like a roaring lion, whom he can devour, but stand against it strong. Not strong in yourself, but in faith, like Peter had been able to experience it in his own life. When he trusted in himself, he could not withstand. But when he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was able to love him even after he had denied his master. So, faith in this is that which brings us strength. That gospel brings the power even to our homes. Even the apostle even says, do not sin. If you do not let the sun set on your anger, do not give the accuser any room. It's good to remember how the day went at night. Did I offend you? Have I offended you? Have I hurt you? And can I believe my sin, my weak words forgiven, and corruption of sin? And do you want to believe also your sins forgiven? I want to go back to that beautiful vision, which a long time ago stirred me away from unbelief and self-righteousness. When the children of God were going to the communion table, altar, they became emotional when they thought about their own words, their own actions to their loved ones. Before they went up to the communion altar, to that sacrificial altar where Christ was the sacrifice and where we can, these young people asked for forgiveness from their friends. They took care of matters. This is not only a reflection of people mending fences, but it was showing what the Holy Spirit is able to accomplish with and among people close to one another. And that was the miracle, the unexplainable, the miracle of faith. And this is such of a precious thing, dear brothers and sisters. Do not let the world, the issues of this world, steal from you. Steal this precious treasure. As a matter of, through the deception of the sin and the enemy, but hold on to faith. And I still want to tell you, I want to tell you that when you go to school, you need to carry the cross and stigma of a child of God. But be of good cheer and be at peace, even though you don't have the courage to open your mouth, even when you just live a basic Christian life. This speaks to many people for certain, and they will read you just like you are a letter of a mission letter of Christ. And when you go to confirmation school and you can start to experience the fellowship of the children of God in abundance, and you can experience the wonderfulness of being together and being in a place where the world is not reminding itself of its existence. And then when in the fall time you go back to your everyday lives, after having tasted the good of summer, and you have to go back to the everyday life and to the shadow of the cross, do not, dear young one, in this situation, become tired, but instead seek the refuge and safety from the midst of your home Zion, from the other children of God, from that flock of sheep, from Jesus' own. That's where you can be safe. In the midst of these words, we can be, on the one hand, happy and sorrowful. My own heart wishes to hear. Can I hear my sins? My sins forgiven in this matter. I wish to believe together with you. And let us be happy that today, no matter what, in spite of everything, feeling sinful, having a two-part nature, we can be in total security and believe all of our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. There's nothing to worry about. Everything is good. We have righteous peace in our hearts. And with this kind of heart, it's good to travel one with another. And we feel good at home, too, when our own sins are forgiven. And all of you dear ones, which God has given you around you, remain believing and in the care of God's care, and believe your latest doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. In Jesus' name, amen.